This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
So the Haslam spoke yesterday at the owners' meetings, and it's come down to basically two options, it seems, for your new stadium. Would it either be A, renovate the stadium by the lake in downtown Cleveland for about $1 billion, or B, build a new stadium in that part of Brook Park that it seems that they've made an agreement to buy, the 176 acres, for $2 billion. All right, which one do you want? 216-474-0092, if it's going to come down to that, which immediately you scoffed. You said, well, I don't think it's their decision, which I'm opening it to the people. That's all. And my whole thing is I want to do my damnedest. This is why, you know, people say, well, let them build it. Let them pay the entire bill for it. Okay, but they'll pay for the taxes and they'll pay for some other things, and it will bring events here, certainly. But I think you also want a bit of, you want a taste of the gate every time they have some. You want a taste of some of those operations. So I don't know if that's exactly what you want, a big, huge area. I mean, 176 acres is a lot. Do you want all that just privately owned? And then in 30 years, if they were to move it somewhere else, I mean, in the region, well, what do you do with that land? What are we going to do with that area? And then you have to figure out what to do there. So you kind of, you do want a bit of a taste there. And I want to be able to get all those events, which, by the way, I don't want to get spanked later on today. I just didn't see any tickets situations yet for SummerSlam. SummerSlam is coming to Cleveland. All right, so now we can. My phone can stop lighting up here. Are we good? Okay, good. So SummerSlam will be here.
I think if you think that's the way to get out of it.
216-474-0092. Well, what the hell? Coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll have George Niang on, which I have one question I got to ask him going, do you really have to give Marcus Morris the dog chain? That coming up at 9 o'clock. But I want to hear from the people. 216-474-0092. I have a little concern about downtown. This is why I am nervous to move the Browns out of downtown Cleveland. Somebody made the comment to me, downtown will be fine. Will it? Will it be just fine? Can I count on them to make it just fine? I mean, I'm serious here. Can I count on the mayor and can I count on city council to make sure it's just fine over that course of time?
Well, as opposed to what?
I don't know. Is there going to be residences? Is there going to be business in that area? I mean, you're going to have to redevelop that land for something. Are we going to be able to do that? We've been talking about, I'm asking you a question here. I mean, you know the movers and shakers better than me.
Well, what
I have a concern.
What has the city over the years, I know this sounds like a silly question, but over the years and over the term since 99, since the Browns, you know, relaunched, and in that stadium that was rushed, this hurried stadium that obviously the term lipstick on a pig has continued to come up over the last few days. What has the city, what have the people in the city and what has the region gotten out of the Browns being in that location? They have spent over almost $300 million over 25 odd years or whatever in maintaining that facility. What has been the return on that investment? Just keeping the Browns in Cleveland? The Haslams are not threatening to move the team. This is very important here. they are not threatening to move out of the region. The only threat is that you get
down the road.
Is that you go to 5 miles down the road and you get a better facility, a world-class, state-of-the-art facility.
Yes.
All things considered, that's a pretty damn good threat compared to the alternative.
And I understand that people would just, if the visitors would basically consider Brook Park, no offense to the fine folks of Brook Park, but I don't think they'd take any umbrage with this, the outsiders would just consider Brook Park Cleveland. You know what I mean? Like, Brook Park's so close.
And close to the airport.
Obviously. And so close to the airport, I think there would just be Cleveland to them. They wouldn't really realize, like, hey, it's Brook Park. Like, I don't know if that would actually go down. But it is one of the things where I like a vibrant downtown scene.
Yeah,
and part I'm with you. And part of the Browns, part of what makes downtown vibrant is the Browns. And some of this stuff, like, I understand. Like, I ain't gonna lie. I do think, and I've always said this, I think the tailgate situation in the city is really, really cool. I think it's a lot of fun. I think there's, like, their little different neighborhoods in there. I know that would go away. Am I to stop progress because of tailgating here? I can't do that. Obviously, I can't do that. So that would be one of the little things that I could see 10, 15 years from now as we get ready to go inside a dome stadium going, yeah, you know, the way it used to be, we had the Pit and we had the Muni lot, and those were some cool days back in the, like, all the other different little neighborhoods, you know, the Burke and everything. I understand that can't always stay the same. So, okay, fine. But I want to make sure it's done as properly as I possibly can. But for all intents and purposes, Tone, how can I turn down a dome that would be world class? I just want to make sure we get all these things. We seem to do well with football events here in the city of Cleveland. It seems that, wait a minute, would they still give us the draft back again, or was that just kind of a cover for what the conversation was they were having during the Bears game? Because you remember one of the stories that were leaked was, well, they might be talking about a draft around here again.
Well, the draft wouldn't necessarily have to be at the stadium.
Well, I'm just saying. I think we do football events good. I just don't want to build a stadium
that
we're sitting here.
You could still do it where you did it at.
Exactly. But I'm just saying, I don't want to build a new stadium that we're all sitting here waiting for a Super Bowl that never actually comes. I want to make sure we get that.
Yeah, and I wonder, because the Haslams, they certainly would have said, if they were looking to sway public sentiment or get the city, the state, the county on board, they'd say, oh, by the way, we have a Super Bowl attached to this. They did not say that yesterday. So I am very interested, if pressed, if we would get closer to that and if that would be a deciding factor. What if they told you, hey, we could do this, public's on the hook, $500 million for renovating the stadium, or we get the dome, we get the Super Bowl, we are going to take ownership over the dome and the land, we are going to develop that land. It is going to be like a Cleveland Browns community, a Cleveland Browns village that is going to be there. You're going to be able to tailgate. We're going to have restaurants, all the vendors. If you're worried about, you know, hey, what's going to happen in downtown Cleveland? Well, a lot of these vendors, a lot of these, in terms of the developers, we've got them coming with us. So they're going to still be a part of this project.
Yes.
You know, if you're worried about losing the bar scene, well, you're just going to get it down there instead.
216-474-0092. Which of these options that they've discussed with the media at the owners' meeting do you seem to like better? Let me get to Dan and Brick Park first. You're next up on the Fan. Hello, Dan.
Hey, good morning. No, I think Brook Park's a way better option. Brook Park Road, if that gets revamped, that's so much property. And then to the left of IX Center Drive, a lot of property. I saw, like, on Channel 3, like, the story about a lot of company. I was telling the guy I talked to, they're all coming out against it, but they didn't care since Corona, keeping all their employees at home. It's only the restaurant people that, but you know as well as I do, they'll just build restaurants in Brook Park.
Right.
But
yeah,
the
will.
Companies that are coming out against it, they've been keeping their employees home for the last 3 or 4 years because it saves them a ton of money. So they haven't cared about the economy in downtown because they realize, oh, I don't got to pay for this. I don't got to pay for electricity. Work from home.
Well, Dan, I don't want to, you know, I hear your point. I don't want to overstate 10 home games a year. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to sit there and go, our whole economy is based on Browns home. It's 10 games a year.
Right.
You know, so I don't want to get crazy.
Right there. I mean, the tailgating, you can have it all down Henry Ford because there's really only a couple companies right there, Airgas, the UAW Hall. You got the Rapid is being reversed because everybody from the west side always got on the Rapid at Brook Park Road and Henry Ford. So now it's in reverse. You make that tailgating. You make across Henry Ford all tailgating.
Yeah.
You're right next to the stadium. just like a lot of other stadiums.
It would be pretty accessible, I'd imagine. I think.
And you got four highways: 480, 71. You got 237, Brook Park.
Well, it would be centrally.
Dan, that sounds pretty good.
It would be more centrally located right now than where the stadium is. Mm-hmm. I know maybe some Eastsiders are not going to love that, but it will be closer to just about everybody else.
Well, as long as you get on 480, then it might be smooth sailing. If you're coming in from the east side, I know you got 90, but then it's hell getting over there. Josh, on the road, you're next up on the Fan.
Morning, boys. Great show as always.
Thank you, Josh.
Hey, I think that even though it's going to stink that if they take it from downtown Cleveland, you know, it's not technically in Cleveland anymore, I think that it's going to be way better. Like you guys said, it's going to be centralized. You're going to have all these different cities. You're going to have a lot more food. The traffic's going to be better. You can find plenty of places to tailgate, Ken. Trust me. I'll line some places up for you.
I'm sure. Like, there is – I can't – like, Josh, I'm not going to stand in the way of progress. You know I'm an old soul, and I like history and things like that. But I also know what would probably be better. And, I mean, Dan's calling –
Need a dome, Ken.
Yeah, Dan's calling your call. Tell me what's better. And again, a dome, I could host multiple events. But I am – you know, damn it, Josh, and I hate to say it like this, and thank you for the call. You know, left in the hands of city council and the mayor, what are we going to have over there then? And I know that by the time that all happens, there's going to be plenty of different city council members, and there'd be maybe a different mayor at that time. But are we just going to let that land just sit over there? Or is it just going to be an extension of Burke? What are we going to do over there? That's my concern. Because there is something to be said for, like, okay, like, I know that there hasn't been the type of lakefront development that people want, but you do have the stadium over there, so at least it doesn't look like there's nothing right up against the water, for crying out loud.
What do you think about from the Haslam's perspective here, especially if they are willing to front most of the money?
I think they see.
I've seen some figures rumored to be 75%. Then and they would come into it with the state. They would get some of that funding from the county, and that would relieve a lot of the.
This would be a major investment that could pay off their creditors very, very soon, and then obviously they'd be able to reap the rewards of that for generations to come. And any business person could see that. I'm not even a business person, and I could see that. Is that correct?
Yeah. I guess I'm just wondering, do you think the Haslams, who are the people? I know other than nostalgia, and we've loved having the stadium on the lakefront just because the memories of Municipal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Made that walk, you know, from the Muni lot so many times. You know, even as a kid, going to Municipal, you were just in awe seeing that facility on the lakefront. Outside of that, who are the people that are pining to keep that stadium there?
Probably few and far between.
I don't know. I don't want to be naive here. I'm interested in hearing that perspective for sure.
We'll see if we can get a couple of those in when we come back. 216-474-0092. Fix my life at 745. What are we going to do with all these Blu-rays? And I know it doesn't look good right now, but I'm not ready to admit this just yet. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lyman, live on the Fan. Hell of a lot of reaction coming in here, Tone. Hell of a lot of reaction. We have some traditionalists out there. There are some traditionalists. Want to keep the stadium where it is. Want to have outdoor football. I just can't stand in the way of progress, right? I mean, I see what the future is. I see what it holds. I think that, you know, anybody, like, I've been to Ford Field. I've only been outside of Lucas Oil Stadium. Never actually been in the place. But, yeah, I mean, you see those places. I mean, it's just like, well, I mean, you can't fight it, can you? Being able to go indoors, being able to see it. I mean, if you want a retractable roof, I guess you could do that, even though in a lot of the retractable places, they keep the roof closed most of the time anyway. I like the Minnesota situation where they kind of have those great big huge doors that open up on the side of it. That kind of lets some air in, makes it look cool. But I mean, there's a plenty of options that you could do, but I want to do it right. And if it's $2 billion, then, you know, so be it. Let's do it. Let's see the way it goes. I just want to make sure, you know, we get everything as equitable as we possibly can, because I just don't want to let a former place where I've only known a stadium to be there, obviously, throughout my entire life. And basically, I mean, the first stadium was built, finished in 1933, 36, somewhere in that area. So, I mean, I think anybody listening, them and their parents only know a stadium there. So what's the next step for that use? What's the next step for that land? You know, what do you turn that into? Do you invite business there? Do you build another building on it? Is it possible to build some infrastructure building there that you can invite business to this city with? Because I don't just want to move the Browns to Brook Park and then, oh, there you go.
Yeah, I certainly wonder. I wonder what they'd be able to do with that land. We know about, you know, being the people keep mentioning Burke Lakefront, which is almost impossible to develop on because that also is, you know, a very, very difficult terrain built on a landfill. I don't know. I don't know, Kenny. Maybe they put just more housing that's going to be called residential, luxurious apartments. They're going to be there to have a beautiful downtown museum. I don't know.
I mean, they already have two museums, right? Yeah. Well, a science center and a museum.
Yeah, as far as office buildings, half of them are empty downtown anywhere, and they're feeling the post-COVID crunch, and they haven't really recovered. So I don't know if that's ever going to happen. What I do wonder is, does Cleveland as a city feel different if the Browns are no longer there and they are instead in a place like Brook Park?
I think it'd be a
does
little
that
bit
feel
odd at first.
Different to people?
I think it'd be a little bit odd at first.
And is it worth it? Is it worth it to get the dome? I guess I feel incomplete that they weren't able to do this the right way when the Browns were ripped out. You know, back when they were, it would have been nice to have all this like Indianapolis downtown and have that interconnectivity because we have such a great walkable city, and to not have a facility that we're trying to get more than just football games, you know, 10 times a year. That would have been perfect to have all of that, but you know, it's not going to be in the cards here.
Take a couple more here. Then I got to get this audio in here before 8 o'clock. Chris and Medina. Chris, hello.
Good morning, Ken. How are you?
Doing okay, Chris. Go ahead, bud.
Well, I tell you what, I think the writing's already in the wall because as a season ticket holder, the prices went up exponentially this year. It was usually like a modest $200 increase. This year is $400 a ticket, and there's one less home game. So I think that's already been decided.
Well, that is what, that they're moving over there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, for a year, how much money would that
equate to? I don't know about that.
I mean,
the Browns' costs are now just getting closer to the middle.
Yeah.
Because they were the most affordable forever. So because they've had an uptick in winning over the last 4 years, you knew it was inevitable they were going to raise prices. So I don't draw any conclusions from them raising prices. They're just kind of getting to the standard of where the NFL prices are.
When they actually do move over there, then there would be certainly a price increase. Slater and Hinkley, go ahead.
Hey, have you ever been to Miami Stadium?
Yes. Not after the redo, I will say. But yeah, I have been there, but I guess no in this case. Go ahead.
So as much as I do enjoy walking around downtown on a Sunday, Wednesday, their stadium, like most of the parking is right around like where you would enter the stadium. And that was awesome whenever we went there. So I think just the ease of access to the stadium would be one of the bigger things. And I think the magic of Cleveland is just like the downtown city skyline. The stadium is so far away from like all the walkable parts of Cleveland that, you know, if we just had a stadium you can just walk right into in Brook Park, and then you can just go out in downtown afterwards. It's, you know, a 5-minute ride, you know, down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be a little bit more of a draw to some people.
Well, they're going to, but you know this as well as I do, Slater, and thank you very much for the call. They're going to want to keep you in that area. So that's why they're going to build a lot around there. Like, I understand, like, if you go and you see the aerial shots of like Sunday Night Football, if you see them at like in Foxborough, obviously you're not seeing the backdrop of Boston, Massachusetts behind you. In Cleveland, it's very nice. In Pittsburgh, I have to admit, it's very nice.
Well, they
got
do
the
that
rivers
with,
that roll in there and the whole thing.
The funny thing is, they do that. Speaking of the Dolphins, anytime they show the Dolphins games, they show you South Beach,
which takes
an hour to get there in traffic, but that doesn't stop them from showing South Beach every single time in the historic Art Deco hotels.
I was with Lizzie, and Lizzie goes, geez, how far away is this? I go, you know what? My dad said it was pretty far. This is pretty far out here. Yesterday, Trey Wingo was on Afternoon Drive, and Trey Wingo, there's no good way to introduce this audio. Trey Wingo says Deshaun Watson's contract is the worst in NFL history. Hit it.
I think they're concerned about the worst contract in the history of the NFL. I mean, let's just be honest about it. It's the worst contract in the history
of the NFL. Keep on going.
I mean, it's not even close. I mean, the second worst one was Russell Wilson, and that's already been expunged. And you know, the weird thing about that one is, you know, Russell hasn't even begun to play on the contract extension that he signed in Denver 2 years ago. I mean, he's still on the old contract, and they're paying him $36 million to play in Pittsburgh this year. I think the Jameis Winston thing is absolutely a concern. The offense was better with Joe Flacco than it was with Deshaun Watson. I don't think it was even close. For all the money that you gave up for Deshaun Watson, he hasn't come close to living up to the billing. It's going to go down as the worst contract in the history of the NFL, and they're hedging their bets already.
I'm not ready to admit it yet. Maybe next year it would be. I'm not ready to admit it yet. I think Russell Wilson's because it's done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I heard Nick say it yesterday. Again, mark it down. Hell's freezing over because I agree with Nick. Am I prolonging the inevitable? I might be. But I'm not ready to do it just yet. I got to wait. I got to see this year. I got to see what he does this year. I think we're going into year 3. I don't think after this year, I think we're going to know. I don't think that there's anything left to find out. He's either going to be worth it or he's not going to be worth it. And we got to start looking in other directions, whether it be teardowns or builds or, you know, putting any sort of facade on top and seeing if we can keep the duct tape on it and go with some other guy. I still got to give it to this year. It was a massive investment. Fine, I need to leave a massive amount of time to make that investment. And plenty of people I know are going to tell me I'm wrong, and maybe you guys will end up being right. I'm just not ready to cross that bridge just yet.
I do think that's the perception by almost everybody outside of Cleveland.
I understand.
I know
that.
Every time we talk about Deshaun Watson, we get the tweets, we get the calls, what about the second half of Baltimore? I'm just telling you that everybody outside of Cleveland's wrong, but I think if the Browns were being truthful on how this trade has gone so far,
it's not going well.
It has not gone well.
It's not going well.
They overcame it last year to make the playoffs, so maybe it doesn't feel as bad, because had they have just gone 5-12 last year, then the feeling would have been bad. It didn't feel as bad last year because they overcame it and we had a fun playoff run.
True.
Thanks to Joe Flacco, thanks to Jim Schwartz and that defense.
But what it did, it did show just... Because they say, well, he was 4-1. I don't give the fifth one because I decided to give that one to P.J. Walker. It's like he wasn't very good in that game. It was a crazy topsy-turvy game. He got knocked out in the first quarter. Let's not get crazy with this. But even at 4-1, I go, okay, still 4-1 as a starter if we're doing QB wins, which is not a great stat, but that's the one we want to talk about. Okay, he accounted for 4 of those wins in that season last year, which is nothing to fart at. So you had 7 other wins that were given to, or that were earned by other quarterbacks. P.J. Walker, I give credit for 2, and then you got Joe Flacco for the other ones there. They did a fantastic job. But what it did, it was exposing down the stretch, I think, some of the warts that was going on in the offense with Deshaun Watson. Whether it be with injury, whether it be with him trying to find wide receivers, I think it exposed a lot of things. Like we brought up rust. I kept saying, it's not rust. Joe Flacco would be rusty. It's confidence. Where's his confidence at? Where's that thinking process at? Why is it missing where it was there a few years ago? Was it just that it was so long? Is it the pressure that comes with coming off of something like this? So when I hear Trey Wingo say that, you know, I don't want to go ripping on Trey Wingo for it. Maybe he'll end up being right. I'm just not ready to do it yet. I know this doesn't look good. I'm not denying it doesn't look good. I'm just not ready to come over with you guys yet on it's the worst contract in NFL history. But I think anybody in that building or anybody outside of that building would look at it and go, I think a lot of people outside of Cleveland already say it's the worst contract in NFL history, but I think a lot of people outside of the building would go, yeah, we're not trending in the right direction, and we really need to make sure that this thing goes as well as we can. And I still worry about his health. I still worry about why you get Jameis Winston, you bring in Tyler Huntley. Is there something there where they don't know how great he's going to be to start off this year? Are they just not completely sure he's going to be 100%.
Yeah, maybe that's...
I wonder.
That's the debate right now, Ken. Has it been confidence? Has it been health? Has it been everything surrounding his life that may have distracted him or taken him out of his game that we saw, and he was one of the bright young players in the NFL and bright young quarterbacks? But that was a long time ago. So that's the debate to be had. I just don't think there's much of a debate on how it's gone from what you anticipated getting out of Deshaun Watson and what you've gotten. You know, it's been 12 games. That's it. Really 11, because the Indy game, you know, he started and only played,
that's true,
you know, a handful of plays. That's been about it, unfortunately. And I'm the one, man, I've been wrong so far. I wanted him. I wanted him, and I was willing to take all that was going to come with him. I underestimated that part of it, too. I underestimated the fact that in every argument about the Browns, somebody was going to throw his off-the-field stuff in your face, and they were going to call the Cleveland Browns a immoral team because of what they did. I can't worry about that every day. I'm a football fan of the Browns, so it's not like I'm gonna trade in my fandom of the team. You know, it's just not happening. So that part of it's been hard. It's not over. The good news is it's not over. Maybe for some people that is the bad news, that it isn't over, that you wish it was over right now and they were moving on already and we could wipe the slate clean.
Do you think with a lot of people it's the worst until proven otherwise,
yeah,
or is it not the worst?
Yeah, maybe
until proven
fine.
Otherwise?
Put Russ if you want to debate or haggle over which is worse, because the Broncos are already done with Russ. Although they'll say, hey, we were able to get out of it. You guys can't get out of it. That's your issue.
I mean, I fully admit I'm splitting hairs here.
I know. So fine. I'd be fine if you said Russ's was the worst. You know, it's hard until proven otherwise. Until Watson looks like Watson, and I guess the issue is, what if he never looks like that again? What if he just looks like how we've talked about Russell Wilson? If he just has a good touchdown to interception ratio, but he's never special. He's never special. Defense is winning games. Defense and coaching, that's the reason they're winning games.
I told you that 2 weeks ago. I take that right now. And I know that it wouldn't be...
Which shows you what you really think
good
of Watson, if that's what you take.
Well, I don't know what I'm going to get back on him. I don't know what I'm going to get back. I mean, before there were signs of greatness, and then there were signs of a lot of things where it's like, man, blind squirrels that are talented find nuts, so is this guy really going to be good? And then there's the injury that comes back, which I think a lot of us are kind of dialing down, going, he's going to be just fine. I don't know. I got orthopedic surgeons who just laugh when they're asked about it. So that scares you. So I don't know when he's going to be coming back. All that pointed out is I got no other choice but to hope that he's going to be okay, and that this isn't going to be, it's not going to be the greatest contract in NFL history. I don't think we're ever going to say that. But I can't necessarily, I can't admit right now that it's the worst contract in NFL history. I have to hold out some hope that they get this thing going in the right direction and everything is going to go okay. And I can't say that it's going to be fine. I can't say it's going to be great, tremendous, whatever word you want to use for it. I can't say any of that stuff because I got to figure out if this thing's going to go right. And what's my definition of right? Can I use him in the offense? Can I take care of him in the offense? Am I going to put too much pressure on him? I'd rather not. I'd rather not put too much pressure on this guy. Can I work an offense and see if I can get back to the playoffs with him? Because if I can't, yeah, then eventually I'm going to have to admit something like this. If he can't stay healthy, I'm going to have to admit something like that to say it's the worst contract in NFL history. I'm just not there yet because I can't, mostly because I shudder to think about that possibility and where it's going to leave this franchise if it does become that way. I'm just not ready to because I don't want to imagine that reality yet. 216-474-0092, 9 o'clock, George Niang going to join us on the show. The Cleveland Cavalier forward, George Niang, coming up next. What the hell are we going to do with all these Blu-rays? It's a question unlike any other. Fix My Life, next on The Fan.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML.
Fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
What the hell is Mitch going to do with 700 Blu-rays? 216-474-0092. What are we going to do with Mitch's 700 Blu-rays?
So did you ever, Kenny, from DVDs to Blu-rays? Did you ever...
No. I actually never got in on Blu-ray.
Did you get in on DVDs?
Yeah.
And what have you done with them?
Well, you know what? It was during a time, DVDs came at a time where I really didn't want to have a whole, I didn't want a lot bogging me down. So I never had a whole lot of DVDs. Like, my parents had a vast array of VHS. VHS as far as the eye could see in the house. I never, well, you know, I was kind of nomadic right after college. You know, not I stayed at the house a couple of days a week. I was on the couch with friends, things like that. So you never knew when you had to jam, brother. So you didn't have a lot of DVDs or anything like that. So I had about a stack, I would say about 3 inches thick of DVDs. Movies that, you know, whatever. I carried them with me and I would look at them on my computer when we were on the road doing play-by-play. Like I had Slapshot and things like that. So I probably still have those somewhere in my house. So I never really had to do a conversion or anything like that.
But you've moved a bunch of times, so you've just brought that stuff with you?
Well, no. See, Mitch has 700 Blu-rays, and I'm a big proponent in physical media. I think the last DVD I might have bought was Tuesday Night at the Gardens from Jim Cornette. That's about it. Thinking about it? Which, boy, I mean, I know.
And I haven't owned a player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
10 years?
Yeah, because my computer, my laptop doesn't have a DVD thing. Doesn't have a port for that. I was very hesitant to buy movies on Amazon. And this is where I have to support Mitch, and I have to say, you know what? I know you got 700 DVDs, and you got 700 Blu-rays, right?
Over 700
Over
now, last
700.
Check.
Yep. Wow.
Do you have 700 cases as well?
When's the last time you checked, and how did you check? Did you count them one by one? One, two.
I actually do have a list that I like keep track of all the titles. The titles are at technically 730 right now, but some of those movies do have copies because there's different packaging as well.
Okay. So you have over 700. You have 730.
At last check, yes.
I would say keep all of it. I would not. Yeah. I would not get rid of any of it because I thought about this driving home yesterday. When he brought that up in a meeting, we all looked and go 730 or over 700 of these things. This is amazing. I would say Tone right now. I say he needs to hold on to them because I'm very leery of buying things without actually holding on to it. Like we have Prime, and it took me a while to actually buy a movie on Prime because. What if Amazon goes under? Boy, if Amazon goes under, I think we're all in a lot of trouble, to be honest with you. However, if Amazon goes under or something like that, it's like, well, I just spent $15 on a new movie that it's lost to the ages. I'll never have it. At least with a DVD, it's up to me to take care of it. Like I have Rudy on DVD. I know for a fact I have that movie. Well, if Amazon goes under, I still have Rudy on DVD. But I have less things that I can play a DVD on. And so then I have to go get a DVD player. So it's a vicious cycle because I don't want to have to keep buying Rudy on different platforms of streaming. And then you're going, well, Ken, do you really like Rudy that much? I'm just using a movie as an example that I know I've bought. Like I watched The Breakfast Club on Sunday. It was the 40th anniversary. I know I bought that movie. It's on my Amazon Prime.
Well, so Mitch, how many of these did you continue to collect after you kind of saw where technology was going?
Honestly, this collection started about 7 or 8 years ago. Basically, I just saw a couple of like film critic YouTubers like show off their collections, and I was like, oh, cool, I want to try that. And it just kept growing and growing and growing. A lot of them are like dollar purchases, so they're not like the top shelf ones. But
do you set aside a specific time in your day to go and watch these or sift through these?
Sometimes if I have like some free time, I'll pop one in if I'm like working on something or if you
what's
know.
The most recent one you popped in?
Gosh, I think the last one was the first Dune in preparation for the new Dune that just came out.
You have the first Dune on Blu-ray?
And I'll have the second one.
Now help
me out
here. Maybe we need the Extend crew to help us out on the specifics of the technology. Help me out when it comes to Blu-ray. Does it look better than if I stream something?
Well, I don't know. I mean, streaming, you're definitely going to have, like, the problem with streaming is that, like, the bits sometimes don't always come through and it looks a little fuzzy or, like, the quality won't look quite there. With Blu-rays, you know you have the quality because it's on that disc. Now, you might have some issues like skipping with some of the things sometimes with the disc, but you can just clean those off typically.
Because, you know, they're music buffs that will swear to the day that we all perish, that vinyl is still the only way to consume music. And they still come out. All the new
layering.
Music is out in vinyl. It's expensive. It's incredibly expensive.
Yeah. I have a record player as well. And that's not as
How many records
expensive.
Do you own?
How many records?
Seven.
What are the seven records?
What's the last one
that you played? Gosh. The last one I played was one of Khalid's first two albums. what was that? Free Spirit and American Team.
Okay.
Ooh. And then it's mostly soundtracks. Khalid. Khalid.
K-H-A-L-I-D.
But the other ones are like soundtracks.
You've
like
heard.
Natural. Some of the Spider-Mans. I even have Queen's Back in Black, or AC/DC's Back in Black. A couple Queens as well.
So you just moved. So you brought all this stuff with you to Lakewood when you moved.
Yep.
Was that a pain in the neck?
A little bit. The biggest pain was having to put together the shelving unit I have for all the movies.
Did you have to upsize your apartment because you brought all this stuff with you?
You would think, but no. I
so it's just all in there. This just, to me, sounds like the difference between I've been married for a long time and a single guy. Because I remember in my single life, I had all the DVDs and all the cases.
Right.
And I was in the military and I moved, but the military paid for that move, so I didn't worry about that.
Yeah.
And then when I got married and bought a house, that was like, hey, we're getting rid of those cases. I don't care if you keep
the disc in
the books, but that is a ton of storage space that you are taking up.
Right? Is that a deal breaker for you?
Honestly, it's not as space taking as you would think. And that, to me, it kind of is a deal breaker at this point. Like, I know, like, I'll put it away in like a unit of the house that's not like right out in front, but like, I'm going to keep those probably for the rest of my life or as long as they're going to last.
But so that is a relationship deal breaker.
I mean,
yeah, that's crazy.
If the person's like, hey, you got to get rid of all of these, this is crazy, I'm going to be like, okay, well, at this point, no.
Beth on Twitter says, tell Mitch to open the second to last Blockbuster.
I might.
What are the, so you have, the last one you watched is Dune. Is there one, is there like a prized possession Blu-ray that you won't get rid of? Never part with
all of them, pretty much. But there are a couple ones than others that
even
like,
the dollar bin ones that you dove to the bottom.
No,
for?
I was gonna say those are the special ones that you can find. Like those are the special like finds that nobody else can pick up. But there's like Steelbooks and Criterion Collection ones and a couple other things that
I have no clue
like
what
big
you're
box
saying.
Sets.
Whoa! Steelbooks.
Steelbooks are like the hard sided ones that feel like it's like a plastic, but it feels like steel. They have like cool like little artworks on it. Criterion's just like the fancy branding with like.
Is all of this for collecting? I mean, is that
the
express
nowadays
purpose?
It is, yes. Because it's not the main way of watching movies anymore. It's kind of like a niche thing.
Yeah, obviously.
You can tell that.
Obviously,
I mean, I do
with
this, but it's bourbon.
With everything available digitally, I can actually understand how some people are interested in this. I just know that I moved so much over time that I did the opposite of either hoarding or collecting. I was doing everything I could to make sure to get rid of everything I had so that I could leave.
Well, you're a minimalist.
At any point. And so I don't have anything. And I always wondered about the shoe collectors, how anybody would put up with or your wives would put up with a shoe collection that would take up so much space. And obviously the Blu-rays don't take up nearly the space of shoes and shoe boxes.
No.
I'm trying to keep an open mind here because I don't want to judge him just because of what he collects because we all have our little idiosyncrasies. So I don't want to do that. And I support Mitch on supporting physical media because, again, if Big Brother ever shuts down everything here, at least you're going to have those on you. Like, I just lose Slapshot forever. I just lose The Breakfast Club
but
forever.
But you'll always Hoosiers have the memories.
Forever. Will I? I don't think so. I like to go back and relive those moments.
Bring back the theater
and
have the boys act out Slapshot for you.
And the difference is you've got three guys here who really, really, really like movies, and then there's a guy here who just likes about five, and that's Anthony. So he has no reason to have DVDs, Blu-rays, a big account on Prime or anything like that where you have a cavalcade of bought videos, bought movies, because it doesn't matter.
And I wondered if down the road, every time I'm watching any of the news stations 24/7 and they interview people on Zoom, they show their libraries. You see the book collections. And I'm like, is that going to be a thing of the past? Are people, especially those that read on Kindle, is that a thing of the past when all of that stuff?
I could not do that Kindle stuff.
But I mean,
I'm still reading that one book.
Do you have books at your house? Do you have a room specifically housing your books?
There's another reason for that I'll share during another Fix My Life. I'm not too comfortable sharing it right now. Yeah, There's a few books over there in the one closet that has to remain locked. 216-474-009. I'm not talking about that type of media.
Yeah, cool.
Okay.
I have penthouses too.
They're not. I don't think I have any on me. Come to think of it, I used to have. So I used to be a subscriber to Playboy. I don't got any of that now. I read the articles. Once you subscribe, you have to read the articles.
Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you very much. I'm a man of culture and sophistication. Up next, I believe in sending a message, but I'm not sure they should overtly celebrate it. They gave the dog chain to Marcus Morris last night.
For a cheap shot.
On The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.